Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux to the Rest of Us, episode 120. It's a show about Linux. We bring you all sorts of Linux goodness, software, hardware, distro reviews, talk, anything that tickles our Linux fancy, if we want to put it that way, which I just did. It's permanent. I am one of the co-hosts, Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Super Coop, a.k.a. the Ice Machine. But I'm only a small part of the bigger equation. The other half of that is going to be my good friend, Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
Going very, very well. How about yourself, man?
Really, really good. Just, man, with all the electronic shows lately, there's so many Android devices coming out. I spent at least a couple hours today just looking at all the stuff that's coming out. Hardware, software-wise, which we're getting to later in the show, there's something big coming to mobile. It was demoed today. But yeah, it was my day off. Just kind of kicked back, hung out with the boy, took care of a lot of tech stuff, got the office cleaned up. Overall, it was pretty productive.
It's always good, man. Yeah, I'm poor, so I don't like looking at stuff until I absolutely have to look at stuff, and then I get sad. But I'm hopeful for some stuff that we're going to talk about later.
Oh, definitely. And when it comes to being poor or selective or having a limited cash flow, educating yourself ahead of time and knowing what you're going to buy when you can, I think is a better way to go rather than being on the forced to get a device or something based on just pressure. So that's why I look ahead. I'm not planning on buying a bunch of garbage. I just like to see what's coming up. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And we are actually not the only two people on this show today. We have a wonderful guest, a good friend of ours of the show, has a bunch of great products we're going to get into. Our good friend, Jonathan Nato from the Accessible Computing Foundation is here. How's it going, Jonathan?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, and when you're talking about doing your homework on the devices, knowing's half the battle, right?
That's right.
G.I. Joe.
And Cody, what exactly were you insinuating when you were saying Door was the bigger half of the show here?
As far as knowledge.
Okay.
I think I'm clear. Well, I'm taller than he is, and I probably weigh more.
Well, I know, so people kept saying that you were calling me fat.
No, oh, okay.
And I was like, that's okay. You should hear what I call him after the show.
That's right. Yeah. Let's just say I have to unplug my headphones because the screaming over Google Hangouts is just terrible. But yeah, that's what I mean by that, Jonathan.
There
if you
go.
Must know. And now you
yes.
Do.
Well, I think inquiring minds wanted to know. I was just
they did.
Asking on behalf of them.
Well, someone has to stand up for the little people who can't read National Enquirer anymore.
Exactly.
All right. Well, for those of you who don't know Jonathan, Jonathan, could you sort of give our listeners a little bit of a background as to who you are and why you're here?
Sure. I am the executive director of the ACF, which is the Accessible Computing Foundation. You can find at theacf.co. We are working on developing free accessible software, and not only free as in cost, but free as in freedom. We're working on building accessible software using free software for all people around the world. There's a billion people that have some type of disability, and I am looking to cater to all those people that have some type of disability and accessing the technology that people that don't have disabilities take advantage of on a day-to-day basis and take it for granted. And really, I was thinking today, because I've been working on some stuff we'll talk about later, but really today there's no need why people that might have some type of physical hurdle or some type of different way of accessing technology, there's really no reason why we can't be getting technology in these people's hands. I mean, we're putting, you know, Mars rovers and we're doing all these other things, and yet we can't find a way to, you know, make it easy for people to access computers which have been around for 30, 40, 50 years now. So that's why I'm here, to bridge that gap between accessibility and technology.
Very cool. Very cool. And for those of you who don't know, Jonathan has a particular reason for why he's very passionate about that cause. And would you share that with the listeners?
Yes. I'm a blind GNU Linux user myself, a free software advocate. And that's why it's a passion of mine, because I myself depend on this accessible software. So that's why I have such a drive for it.
Definitely. And for those of you who haven't checked it out, definitely go to theacf.co. You can become a member of the organization and donate monthly to that. And we'll get more into that later in the show, but it's a worthwhile cause. Dora and I are both members, as are several other PodNutsians in the community, which I thank you guys for, because yes, it is a worthwhile cause, definitely. Yes. And we're very glad to have you here.
Thank you, sir. And I would like to say all the members have made a lot happen so far, and I appreciate it greatly. And there'll be newsletters and stuff going out soon talking about what I've been working on and what I'm moving towards and plans in the future. So thank you for all the members that continue to donate, and even the people that have done one-time donations. It's all appreciated, and I'm trying to be the best steward I can be with the money that people trust me with.
Very cool. All right, Dor, what do we got lined up first this week?
Well, I wanted to first just thank people for going to podnuts.com/Amazon this holiday season. You've definitely helped the network out a lot, and I cannot say thank you enough. With that, I'll just ask, if you can, do it a little bit more, if you can. I also wanted to do a quick shout-out. I still need help. And when I say I mean PodNuts still needs a little bit of help. I do not understand what I'm looking at, but there are Chrome and Firefox extensions put up by, I can't remember the guy's name.
Stuff for the Linux Action Show, right?
Well, it's not by the Linux Action Show.
Right.
A guy made it for Jupiter Broadcasting, and then he decided to put it all on GitHub for Chrome and Firefox extensions, where people can automatically support us via Amazon. Anytime they go to Amazon, it's like an automatic thing. I still need help with this. If there is anyone out there who knows anything about creating Chrome or Firefox extensions, it would be appreciated. I'll say that. Greatly appreciated. Just to a quick basic. I didn't do a great job of planning for OLF. Hence, about two-thirds, three-quarters way through my presentation, I didn't have any more things on my slides.
Wait, what? I didn't notice that.
I know. It was really hard to see.
Very dark.
Well, and I was running it on a very underpowered device. It was the MK802. I wanted to bring that as a proof of concept, number one, but number two, I didn't want to carry around anything. So I just carried that around. Well, now I have my Chromebook. I think I'm going to use this, I don't want to say product, this technology, this package called reveal.js. And if you go to the main page, which is lab.hakim.se/reveal-js, just go to the show notes. It might seem like there's nothing here on this page. You have to go to the page and it says what it is, and then you have to hit your right arrow key. And then you can arrow down and arrow to the right and arrow through the slides. I think I'm going to try to use this technology for my presentation, only because it seems pretty straightforward, pretty easy if you look at the source code, to add images, change effects, do bullet points, even do video if you want. So I think I'm going to try to use this for my upcoming talk here. And I just ask that everyone wish me luck in properly planning for a change.
Now, Dor, forgive me if you already mentioned this, because I was looking at it while you were talking about it. Can this be used offline, or is it online only?
I believe that's the primary job, the primary function of this is supposed to be offline. Everything can basically be done in a local folder, and all of this can be in a single file where all of your images can just be right outside the file, but all of the actual code can be just in one file. And the only thing it has to link to, if you look at the source file, is a few CSS files and I think one JavaScript file that you can easily just download and put in the same folder. I mean, nothing about it is overly complex. If you've done any web development before, this is really easy, actually.
Yeah, this is very nicely. I mean, it's very, very simple, but it's elegant enough instead of just the traditional kind of slideshow as far as a visual presentation. And yeah, I'll definitely play around with this too, because you and I will both. Oh, go ahead, John.
No, you go ahead, Cody.
I was going to say, I definitely need something like this because Dora and I are preparing for a talk at a certain event, which we'll talk more about later in the show.
Dora, you plan on having these things done before you actually come up, right?
Well, here's the thing. There's a side benefit. I'm going to be on what I believe is going to equate to a 10-hour bus trip.
Probably 8.
8-hour bus trip. That gives me plenty of time to focus on getting something done.
Yeah, and you'll have internet access, too, so good to go.
Yeah. Go keep lying to yourself there, Dor.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I believe I can fly. I'm going to touch the sky.
Well, I believe I can. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you go right ahead.
So where exactly are you giving this talk?
Well, we're going to get there. Okay, first off, honestly, we have something I think that's more pressing. And I'm going to put it like that, okay? Our friend, Jonathan Nadeau, a.k.a. Jonathan T. Nadeau.
Captain.
Admiral Jonathan T.
Nadeau. He's been recently promoted. Congratulations, sir. Nice to meet you.
To be honest, first off, I'm going to say, is obviously... most people are like, 96% water or something. Not Jonathan Nadeau, no. He's like 50% piss, 50% vinegar, because I have never seen someone so passionate in doing so much stuff before in my life. He is basically the head of the Accessible Computing Foundation. That's a task. He is doing this fest where he is basically the head. That's a task. He's a full-time college student. That's a job. He's a father. That's another job. And he's a husband. That's another job. So he's already slammed to the gills. And he has started an Indiegogo project called, it's for Sonar.
Yeah.
Can you tell everybody what is Sonar?
Yes. Sonar is a GNU Linux distribution that I've been working on where right now, basically it's a distribution focused on accessibility. So what I've done is I've designed it so a blind person can install Sonar completely on their own with no sighted help at all. So they put a disk in, it boots up to a live session, Orca starts working, and they can run through the installation and install it with no sighted help at all. Once they get it booted into Sonar, then there's a screen reader, which will already be running if a blind person installs it. There's magnification software for low vision users. There's an on-screen there's two types of on-screen keyboards for people with low motor skills, so if maybe if only one hand is good, or both hands aren't working that well, and using a regular keyboard is too hard, you can use either a mouse or like a trackball or something like that, and then you basically move the cursor over the keys on the on-screen keyboard, and you can type out things that way. Well, one of them is a traditional keyboard, but the other one will do like predictive text. It'll also do like it'll pre-populate certain things like paragraphs or sentences that you might say often. You can program it to like pre-populate whatever you want by pushing like a particular button or whatever. You can also set up the keyboard to do like sticky keys, or you can control like sticky keys is like, say if you want to make a capital letter and you can't hold down the shift button and press the key at the same time, you could press the shift key once, it'll act as if it's continuously being pressed down. You can press the letter you want to capitalize and then let go of and press the shift button again. You can do things like that. You can set how quickly you want the buttons to, if you hold on like a letter T, like how many times, how fast you want it to be able to push out letter T's as you hold the button down. You can do all types of things with the keyboard. I also have a font pre-installed for people with dyslexia that helps them better with reading. And I also have eye/head tracking software where you can plug in a common webcam and it will track either the eye movement or the head movement, and it can move the cursor around on the screen with the combination of the on-screen keyboard. The person that hasn't been able to access a computer now can through the eye/head tracking software with the combination of the on-screen keyboard. These are just some of the things I'm doing with Sonar. It's based off of... I have spins right now based off of Ubuntu 12.04, 12.10, and also Debian Wheezy and Debian Sid. Mm. And I've also been working on getting the LXDE and XFCE desktops accessible. Until this point, the only accessible desktop as far as with a screen reader has been GNOME. But I've managed to get LXDE accessible with a couple of hacks right now, but it works. I changed the default file manager to Nautilus, and I included the GNOME panel. Once I do that, though, the desktop is completely accessible, and it's extremely fast, because LXDE's desktop is very lightweight. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because people around the world don't necessarily have access to dual-core 3 gigahertz computers or whatever, quad-core machines with 8 gigs of RAM. So they can still run like even a Pentium 4 with like a gig or two of RAM, and they'll have no problems using the screen reader with the LXDE version of Sonar.
Gotcha. Well, my quick question, and I'm going to phrase it like this because I already know. Why would you do this? Isn't there already stuff out there? I mean, you know, there has to be, right?
Yeah, with a distribution like, say, let's say Fedora, for instance, because they ship like a lot, like vanilla GNOME and stuff like that. With Fedora, you could install it and start Orca. But the problem is, if you're a blind person living on your own, you know, maybe you have friends or family, but they don't live by, you see them once a week, once a month or whatever, and you want to get something done, you need to wait to get their help. The installer for Fedora, even 18, part of it is accessible, but not all of it, and they're currently working on that. So that, you know, that's kind of the first hurdle that Sonar overcomes. The second one is, again, in most distributions that ship with like GNOME are going to be accessible, but Sonar kind of takes off the having to know what you're doing sort of thing. It's Sonar is more built for like the novice user, people that are new to free software and accessibility, so it kind of takes a lot of the guesswork out. Already has everything they need installed and configured and ready to go, so that way they don't have to muck around and, you know, try and figure out a new operating system maybe they've never learned, or, you know, things like that. I want Sonar to be like the distribution for people that have that need accessible software to turn to. I want to turn it into a development platform where people can even develop and create new accessible software to run on GNU Linux and to target Sonar as the platform to use.
Gotcha. Very cool. Yeah, and I'll say, if you want to know more, indiegogo.com/sonar, S-O-N-A-R.
Yes.
I've downloaded it. I've installed it. And here's one of my core beliefs that I see coming true after I put this on a box. The more accessible sets of software become, the easier and better quality software they become for everybody. I am really sticking with that as a fact, because I've noticed software that you use, that you suggest in this distribution, seem to me that they seem to be the most solid software I think I've used before. And it's obvious you've already put a lot of time into this. I know for a fact you're not asking for this money so you can afford a trip to Hawaii. Every dime I'm sure that you're getting from this, you're going to put back into making this more real, more powerful, more full, and more complete.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I got it to as far as I can get it, I think, without, a good piece of monetary assistance. So I really want to take it to that next level, and that's what this whole campaign is for, to really bring that polish to it and, even possibly start developing other software that needs to be on there. Like, there's some things I have ideas for hearing impaired people. Even making the head tracking software, I mean, you know, it works, but obviously nothing's perfect and stuff can always be better. So I'd love to pour, more effort into getting the head tracking software working better. I'd love to find you know, a way to where I could even make the installer accessible with, like, the head tracking software, you know, things like that. Like, I mean, you know, there's still the person would need someone to put the disc in their computer or whatever, but I would just love to give, you know, people that freedom to install the operating system themselves, to, you know, make them feel like, you know, this is my operating system, I installed this myself, and then they just feel part of, you know, part of the community that's built around it. And, you know, that's the great thing about free software, too, is once more people start hearing about Sonar and using it, the community will get even larger, and then since it's free software, there'll be even more people from outside, you know, making this software better, developing new software that have, you know, other people might have other ideas that, you know, they could do stuff with Sonar that I haven't even thought of yet.
Exactly. And that's the two things I wanted to add. Jonathan is not making this for people. He's making it available for everyone to make better.
Yes.
And he's going to, and I know Jonathan, he's going to spearhead ideas, concepts, goals for this. Jonathan knows he can't do everything, but let me tell you something. He's already done far more than I have seen anybody else do to try to make this kind of advancement point blank. Now, Rodriguez for Triskel.
Yes.
What's his first name?
Ruben.
Ruben. I can never remember his name. Ruben, I think, was the first guy that really opened your eyes on what was actually possible in the realm of accessibility and how fast they could be implemented. And I'm going to guess that's what really opened your eyes to having this thing even become real.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, people have said, like, well, why don't you, you know, work with Triskel more? Or, you know, why did you start Sonar? How come you didn't work with Ubuntu? Because before I started Sonar, that was my ideal thing. Like, I was like, you know what? There should be no reason for a specialty distro for people with accessibility that need accessible software. It should just be in the mainline, you know, operating system. But the more I started thinking of what a specialty distro could do, you know, mainline distros, I don't want to say they don't care, but that's not their focus. They're not going to be like, I don't want, you know, why should I put in magnification software and this head tracking software and on-screen keyboards and this dyslexia font and this and that? And it's like, if every distro did that, they, like, again, I'm trying to find the right words, because, like I said, it's not that they don't care, it's just not their focus. And they would be losing their focus if they started throwing all these other things in, because people be like, well, why is this here? I don't need this. And, you know, and again, it kind of comes back around to, if people, like, don't depend on accessibility, it's not to their, you know, it's not their fault. It's just they don't consider it because they don't depend on it. And then they would wonder, well, why is all this stuff here? I don't need this. And they don't realize there's a billion people in the world that need this stuff. So
yeah.
If I have Sonar, I can have a laser focus on accessibility and assistive technology and concentrate specifically on that. And like I said, my goal is for anyone that depends on any accessible software is to use Sonar. That's its sole purpose.
Very cool. Well, and also by being focused like that, and I mean, it's essentially your project, you get to determine exactly what you're putting into it. So, contributing to projects are great, but if you have the ability to do it yourself or get a group of people that you trust to make your vision exactly how you want it, then why not do that, whether it's a distro or any other piece of software or any other project, right?
Yeah, and plus, you know, once Sonar becomes more mature, we're going to have like a... we're going to document it and, like, lay the foundation, and we're going to put up, like, all the documentation saying, like, look, if you're distribution X and you're interested in becoming, you know, just as accessible as Sonar or whatever, here's the steps you need to follow. And we'll lay it all out. So Fedora or Ubuntu or OpenSUSE or whoever, SolusOS, whoever wants to become, like, that accessible can freely do it, and they'll have all the steps laid out for them, showing them you need to install package X and configure it this way, you need to install package Y and do it this way, and, you know, set this configuration this way. It'll all be laid out so they can follow all the steps if they wish to become sonarized or however you'd want to put it, you know.
Very cool. And I just want to make sure the people listening understand one quick thing. Jonathan says the word free software kind of loosely. Everybody who listens might not understand. When he says free software, it is not implying cost in any degree. That's not what free software means when Jonathan says it. No. When he says free software, he means free Libra open software. And I know open's not the right word, but I'm saying that. Free software where people have the freedom to download it without any restrictions, view the source code without any restrictions, modify the source code without any restrictions, and redistribute that source code without any restrictions.
Yes.
When he says free software, that's what he means when he says free software.
Yeah, definitely. That, like, I interned at the FSF a couple summers ago, and really that's kind of what started me wanting to get the ACF started, and that's when I worked with Ruben and all that stuff. And free software is, that's what makes this whole thing possible and what will make it like the ultimate platform, in my opinion, once it's where I want it to be for accessibility. It's the four freedoms that you get is what's going to make this possible. And, you know, that's why I'm a strong advocate of using the word free and a strong advocate of saying like GNU Linux instead of Linux the majority of the time. You know, I'm just a free software advocate, and I believe in the four freedoms because I've been on both sides of the fence with proprietary software and, you know, and free software. And when you depend on accessing technology on proprietary software, you're held captive by the people that develop the software. You can only do what they tell you can do, and, you know, that's it. But with free software and you're accessing technology that's around you, you can see exactly how things are working. You can understand why it's not doing what you wanted it to do or why it's doing what it is doing. You can change it. If you can't change it, you can find someone that can change it. You can find a group of people that can change it. Some people do it for free. Some people do it for $20. But with free software and accessibility, you know, us people that depend on accessible software, our destinies are in our own hands. We're in control of how we can access the technology that sits before us. And that's why I'm a big free software advocate.
Very good way to put it, man.
Definitely.
And the only last thing I'll throw out there about this is there's 29 days left as of the date of this recording, January 22nd. I believe the end date is going to be...
I think it's February 20th.
February 20th. Thank you, because you know I have trouble counting and reading.
Amongst other things. But we won't get into that. We'll be here all night. Okay. But no, yeah. And I got to tell you, no matter where you are in sort of your Linux experience or your GNU Linux experience or your open source software experience or education, be very open to other beliefs, other avenues of thought, because I got to tell you, even 6 months ago, I kind of had my idea of what I wanted to use or what I viewed on what I would or wouldn't use. And after meeting Jonathan in person, I've been talking with him online for almost 2 years now, but after meeting him in person, having some really meaningful conversations, I feel a little bit more enlightened and educated on certain topics in conjunction to open source software and free software. And many other areas. So if you haven't already, if for instance, if you're a brand new user who's only used Ubuntu, okay, get out of your comfort zone and try other things, because you need to become more of a well-rounded user, and no matter what platform you're using, to really know exactly what you need and what you want. And if you're not doing that, you're almost doing yourself a disservice, because if you think of other platforms, if you're using Windows or if you're using Mac, you're getting the factory out of the box experience, essentially.
Yeah.
But one of the great things about Linux overall is that you really get to tweak and customize it to your own specifications, and there are so many different options. So if you're not taking advantage of the buffet, then why are you standing in line?
True.
I guess that's a
good way to put it.
Yeah, so you do yourself a disservice, and that's not to say, and I'll fully admit, like right now I'm running Mint 14, just because I started using a box that I built, and I needed something up and running within 2 hours to get on this cast about a month ago, and I just installed it knowing that Mint or Ubuntu is like my fallback, because I'm comfortable in it, and I know that I can get it up and running within so many minutes, and I'm done.
Right.
But I'll be doing myself a disservice, and ultimately, anyone who listens to the show, if I just continue to use what I'm comfortable with. I am starting installing new distros, and there are reviews coming in future shows, but if you haven't already, consider that. And there is a distro, there is a current version of Sonar that's available for download, right, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah, there's like I said, I have ones based off of Ubuntu 12.04, 12.10, both 32 and 64-bit, and I have Debian Wheezy and Debian Sid 32-bits, but with the PAE kernel, so you'll see all, it'll see all the RAM you have. And I also have built a alpha version of Sonar using Ubuntu 13.04, which it works rather well already, but, you know, again, it's alpha, so run at your own risk.
Yeah, that's a dangerous proposition. and I'm just going to, as I always do, harken back to food. Okay. Hypothetically, Microsoft is chicken, Mac is fish, Linux is beef. Okay? Well, okay, let's say Ubuntu is beef. Okay? There's nothing wrong with sticking with those three major things when you need to get something done. You know, that's fine, whatever. But you guys have to understand, there's mutton, there's lamb, there's turkey, there's shellfish, there's all different of other things out there, including tofu. Don't limit yourself on what you can use, what you can learn, what you can experience. I'm a firm believer, the more I know about other Linux distributions, the more I use other Linux distributions and other operating systems, the more I understand about my daily Linux distro that I use every day. I understand why when I, you know, turn the wheel really hard, why it does this. And then I know how to work around that to get to what I actually want to get done in as quick of a fashion as possible. Like in the Debian-based systems, you have, this is how you can install stuff. And I only know this from trying all these other different distros. There's Ubuntu Software Center. There's Synaptic. There's apt-get. There's aptitude. There's gdebi. And there's dpkg. There's six different types of interfaces, functional interfaces, for me to get software on a computer. And they all have their own special things they can do or what they're good at. And if you only know one of those, and you're going to come across a hurdle that you cannot overcome because you've only stuck with the software center forever. So I encourage people, if even if it's just loading up other distros in a VM, whether it's Slackware, whether it's Fedora, whether it's Debian, just try them. And while you're at it, you can download Sonar too, because you have over 500 downloads now, right?
I think last I checked a couple months ago, I had over 600.
Very cool.
So, and, oh, and there's an LXDE version which is based off of 12.10, Ubuntu 12.10. Yeah, Sonar has already been downloaded in, last I checked, it was like 30 different countries. So it was like Sweden, Switzerland, Finland, Norway, the UK, let's see, Israel, the Ukraine, Ukraine, Belarus, Romania, all over, Canada, Mexico. It's been downloaded in Japan, China, a bunch of places. So I couldn't believe it. So obviously people are using it, which is good. So again, you know, with the Indiegogo, I really want to bring it to that next level. I want to get it to the point where, you know, maybe like government entities throughout the world will, I'll be able to present this to them. They'll look at it and be like, wow, yeah, I could see, you know, the people in our country, our city using this. And that's really the end goal. So I really see myself traveling and meeting head officials at other countries and showing them, this is what the people in your city or your country need to use that depend on assistive technology. Because once we start getting these, you know, extra 2 million, you know, 20 million, 30 million people on computers, what kind of things are we going to unlock once these people can finally access a computer? Because I'd be willing to bet there's quite a few of those billion people that haven't been able to use a computer because they can't get the assistive technology they need due to, you know, extremely expensive proprietary software or computers that they have that can't run whatever they need. And so that's what I'm trying to do with Sonar. And another side note, I also bought a Raspberry Pi, And yeah. in the next few weeks, I'm going to make Raspbian and the Fedora mix for the Raspberry Pi accessible. So
very cool.
So I'm working on that too. So hopefully those will work. I don't know what to expect yet. I'm sure I can get accessible, but I don't know what to expect for their performance. I got the 512 meg Raspberry Pi, so we'll see what happens.
Well, Jonathan, all I ask is that when you do start getting, you know, upwards in the multi-million user mark, and when you finally succumb to Amazon pressure, could you please make it a podnuts.com/AmazonLens?
Definitely.
Okay. as long as you commit to that, I would appreciate it.
Although I do remove it in the versions of Sonar, but...
you know what? Requests are requests.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying. Speaking of products that we do believe in, I want to take this moment to just talk about a product that is very near and dear to Podnuts and something that could be useful to many of our listeners, and that is a D7. If you go to foolishit.com, where you can find a D7, the ultimate PC technician's multi-tool, providing one-click automation for malware removal, Windows repair, PC maintenance, data backup, and many other functions designed to make your life as a repair technician a lot easier. It's a great product. Dor, in fact, interviewed Nick. Is that correct? Is that his name? Dor? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
On a recent episode of Podnuts Daily, which is now resurrected and now being hosted by Dor. So if you haven't listened to that, definitely check it out. If you do want to purchase D7, you can get a 20% off discount by using the promo code PodnutsShow20. That is PodnutsShow20 for a 20% discount. And check out that episode to get a better idea of what the product is. Check out the website foolishit.com and check it out. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll say, Nick, yeah, that was episode 74 Podnuts, and I just want to try to get his product more exposure. So if you have Windows friends that complain about having to fix computers, tell them to take a look at foolishit.com. I guarantee it's a tool that can help them be less stressed, I'll say.
Very cool. Yeah, and for those of you guys, I mean, I used to do it. I used to have my own business, Doors Done It, and trust me, you hit some pretty hard and tough brick walls. And if you haven't searched for sort of an all-purpose tool like this, check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, Jonathan. Now we talked about Sonar, and we talked about the ACF, but there is an event coming up, of which Dor and I have a personal interest in, and you do as well. would you like to plug that a bit while you're here as well?
Yeah, definitely.
I'd love to hear some more about it, because I'm going to need some details.
All right, well, I just have one last thing about the Indiegogo campaign.
Definitely, please.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's indiegogo.com/sonar. Mm-hmm. But if if you can't afford to pledge any amount of money, a thing that's just as good, maybe if not better in some aspects, please visit the website, the link, indiegogo.com/sonar, and click on the tweet button, the Facebook like, the G+, plus one it. That makes a big difference, because if Indiegogo sees a lot of traffic from that page, they'll feature the Sonar campaign on the front page. So,
very cool.
You can help out a lot just by going to that link, and if you don't have a Twitter account, make one and just tweet it. Like just so they can see that the page is getting some action and some traffic. So if you can't pledge the $5 or whatever, I didn't know this. I guess you can pledge whatever you want. You can put in your own amount. I didn't know that, because a few people have already done that.
Yeah, it's already gaining some traction. You got some money in the bank there so far.
Yeah. So, but like I said, if you can't pledge any money site, trust me, I totally understand and know myself that, things are hard. So, mm-hmm. Please, if you can click on those links, that would make a huge, a big difference also to get the on the front page of Indiegogo. The reason why I chose Indiegogo is because it's worldwide. Like, everyone throughout the world can contribute to Indiegogo. So that's why I chose it over Kickstarter. Kickstarter only does U.S. only. So,
Well, now they do the U.K., but it has to be a U.K. project for the
exactly.
U.K. people. So
I see.
They exactly. do other areas, but it's kind of trickery.
Right. So that's why I chose Indiegogo, because it's worldwide. Anyone can contribute. So if you know anyone in any other country, South America, Africa, anywhere in Asia, anywhere in Europe, please let them know about it and ask them to spread the word too.
Yeah, and I'll say, if anyone out there is uncomfortable with using this system, but they want to contribute, honestly, contact me. If you get me the money, I will contribute 100% of what you put for it right back to the project. I.e., if you say $100, you give me $100 via PayPal, hypothetically, and it takes 3% away, I will cover that 3% personally and put it back into Sonar.
Man.
That I gotta say, but the other thing I gotta say is I'm pissed off at Indiegogo. I was the first contributor, but it has me listed as anonymous, damn it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I must have
did
something wrong.
Oh, one last thing though too. If you don't want to, you know, click on the links with Sonar, like with the Sonar page for the Twitter and Facebook and all that.
Too late.
One thing that helps out also is G Plus is very inaccessible for me. So it would be greatly appreciated if everyone on G Plus goes nuts and just starts plussing everything and getting a hold of everyone, going to the communities, the Ubuntu communities and Linux communities and all that, and just let them know about this campaign and just start, you know, messaging people directly, like any, you know, tech pundits that we might know of that are somewhat, you know, Weberlies, you know, like celebrities on the web or whatever. Just get a hold of them and let them know about this campaign. Just, you know, I want to get the word out as much as I can, and I currently can't use G+. So if anyone wants to take up that that sword and go for it, please, it would be an honor if you did that for me. So that's it for the Indiegogo.
So a sort of more positive spin on that would be come and be a part of the Digital Street Team.
Exactly.
For the Sonar project, get on
exactly.
Google Plus, and yeah, Door already or is in the process of, if he hasn't already, setting up a Hootsuite where we can get it automated.
Oh, nice!
And for those of you, yeah, it's a worthwhile project. Like, if you're contributing monetarily or not, yeah, please just do what you can.
Yeah, like I said, it'll make a big difference, and I really think if I can get to the front page, that will really help the cause. So,
oh heck yeah, heck yeah.
So okay, so on to Nugv. Right,
Negle, yeah. And there's a big long story about that. I'll probably release a, yeah, okay, but yeah, go ahead.
So we're on to the Northeast GNU Linux Fest. It's the third annual one, and this one, you know, everyone probably says this when they're the coordinators of an event, but seriously, this one is by far going to be the best. Where it's going to be March 16th and 17th, and a couple of months here. At Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And we have the entire science building at Harvard. So we have 5 lecture halls, 10 classrooms. And we can do whatever we will with that. Right now, the schedule is piling up. We're getting more and more people submitting talks. We have Matt Lee, who was formerly at the FSF, giving a talk. We got Door-to-Door Geek giving, like, all-day GNU Linux for the rest of us to classes. We got Cody coming in and giving a talk about Steam, right, Cody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it, Steam. Yeah. No. I'll be speaking. My talk is titled The Human Element of GNU Linux.
Yeah, that's it. You gave me the quick summary of it. I'm very interested, so.
Yeah.
Whether or not I get to hear it might be a whole other story, but we will be recording everything like madmen, and that's another great thing. We've got tons of volunteers this year, so basically what we're going to do is we're going to have laptops in every lecture hall, and we'll be in Mumble on all of those, and we have one person dedicated to that room hitting stop and record on the laptop to get every talk. And then, basically, after the day after it's done, we're going to rip all of the audio out of all the computers and start uploading them. So,
you mean, like, within 48 hours?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Unlike other fests, which have yet to do it from years past.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite revolutionary.
So,
and are you using special software from the future to make this happen, or just, like, everyday stuff anyone could download ever?
Oh, yeah, it's just your normal, everyday, you know. Well, I mean, Mumble records itself, like, within Mumble,
right.
So, you know,
right.
All we have to do is just rip it out and throw Audacity, cut off the, you know, 10 seconds at the beginning, 10 seconds at the end, done.
Oh, So maybe if you would record a tutorial on how to do that, we could forward it off to some.
Yeah, I'll work on that. I'll even do a video tutorial on how to do it.
There you go. if you do that, I swear to God, this hand to whatever religious deity you believe in, I will donate $25 or more to the ACF. If you have a video tutorial how to do that, I promise.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens then.
Okay. All right.
Let's see. We also have, I believe, John Sullivan from the FSF is going to be talking on free software and like mobile devices. We have someone from I can't remember his name. He's from HP, but his talk looks really interesting too on how, I hate the verbiage he's using. I have to talk to him about it, but how open source development has changed a lot of stuff in the past like 5 or 10 years. Like it's really done a lot. Like and HP does a lot with it, and it seems really interesting. We have someone from Open Wonderland giving a talk that I'm really excited about. It's a Java based virtual world and like a 3D virtual world, and it's really cool. And they just added it can do like collaboration work, but they just added within the world you can actually do code development collaboration within this virtual world. It's crazy. Mm. So she's going to be giving a talk and a live demo hopefully of Open Wonderland.
Is that the thing we were talking about at OLF where you could do like the virtual concerts?
Yeah, that's my idea that I wanted to do. It, you know, wasn't intended for that.
Well, I didn't mean to cat out of the bag.
But so we have I'll be giving a talk on Sonar probably. Let's see, I'm trying to. There's like far too many people for me to really rattle off. But if you check out northeastlinuxfest.org, I believe Bruce already put up like a very rough idea of the schedule. There's also going to be like an open database camp going on. Shiri, I don't remember her last name right now. She is basically running the open database camp within the Northeast GNU Linux Fest. So she's going to have a whole track on her own. She's also going to have two classrooms. They're going to be talking about like Postgres and MySQL and all kinds of geeky database stuff. Oh, Drew Levine is also going to give a 3-hour class on how to use FreeNAS.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
That's another thing that's going on. Let's see. I don't know about LPI yet. I need to email them, like, this week. There's a very good chance we will have LPI test and BSD certification.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I'm just trying to think of some other quick stuff before I drop the bomb. Let's see. We should have an after party on Saturday, which I don't know where that's going to be at yet, but I believe I'm putting Matt Lee in charge of that, and he is the man you want in charge of this function. So, let's see. And then if you're looking for a hotel, if you visit northeastlinuxfest.org, there's a list of hotels, but Bruce found something really cool where... Yeah, I'm not going to remember what they call them now.
Planes?
No.
Cars? No.
Instead of staying in a hotel, there's one right next to the Berklee School of Music.
Do they have yurts out there in Boston?
It's called, I want to say it starts with a C. It slipped my mind. But basically, there's like a room with like 45 beds in it.
And cave.
Yeah, sort of. And basically, you know, it's a clean place, but $30 a night you can stay there, which is way cheaper than the hotels I was able to get. So if cost is a problem, that you can definitely stay at these places. We have links to that. We also have a mailing list for people that are traveling. So if you go to it's hotels@northeastlinuxfest.org. I don't think anyone's really signed up on the mailing list yet, but people that plan on coming to the event can organize with each other, like, hey, I'm going to be at the airport at, 4:30. Is anyone going to be around? Can you give me a ride? Or, hey, I'm staying in a hotel. Does anyone, roommate or people looking for roommates or people that want to, So the mailing list is there for people to coordinate with each other to kind of, lessen the burden of, staying in a hotel in Boston, because they're not cheap, unfortunately. So we have that mailing list set up for people that are, that might want to try and work together on that.
Now, Jonathan, we have many listeners all over the country, especially on the East Coast. Now, is this event open to the public?
Oh, yeah. It's totally free. Okay. Just show up on March 16th and 17th. Listen to all the talks you want. Take whatever classes we have going on. Also, we have t-shirts up on the site right now, too, if you want, like, it's like a supporter pack for $30 to get a t-shirt, if you want to, like, support the Northeast GNU Linux Fest. Trying to think of what else to mention.
Here's something I want to mention. It was very hard for me to commit to that because one of my favorite holidays falls in that weekend.
Well, dude, St. Patrick's Day, you want to be in Boston on that day, man.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. See, he said that. He goes, "But it was on St. Patrick's Day," and I immediately thought, "Oh," and then I thought, "Wait, why wouldn't?" Yeah. Because, I mean, dude, you're talking, you know, yeah, that's it's like Christmas all over again. And if you thought I got crazy during OLF, all I'm saying is you know, like you walk into a TV set and there's those pillars standing up with like the little notes on them that says no camera shots, please. We need to have those all around me at all times during when I'm there because I don't want any of this recorded.
I'm gonna keep you at a selfie, that's for sure.
Okay. Oh, very cool.
And I'll just ask people really quick, if you do plan on going, register first. I know Please. Jonathan would much rather have an idea of how many people show up rather than have 10 people register yet have a couple hundred people show up.
Yeah, and the registration form, even if you're not going to give a talk, use the same form and just register. Just don't fill in, you know, anything that asks about your talk that you want to submit. So the one form is for whether... you know, you're just coming to attend, or if you want to give a talk also. So the one form for both types of people. So
very smart.
Very awesome.
I thought there was one other thing I wanted to mention, but it's slipping my mind.
Have to do about sponsorships or keynotes, maybe? Oh, I can buy shirts.
Yes, yeah, I mentioned that.
He mentioned that already when you were zoning out.
Yeah, we're also going to have Wendy Seltzer. She's a fellow at the Berkman Center, which is kind of part of Hartford. She's also, I believe she's a law professor, and she does a lot with like free software and stuff. She's going to be giving a talk also. Hopefully Mad Dog's coming down. I just gave him an open invitation. I was like, just like the last Northeast GNU Linux Fest, like 2 weeks before, Mad Dog was like, "Oh man, I didn't think I was going to be around, but I'm going to be around. If you don't have a spot for me, I'm still going to come." I was like, "Mad Dog, I'm going to change around the whole schedule just for you." And I made the fest an hour earlier just so I could give him a spot to speak, and it all worked out. So I let him know. I talked to him in Ohio, and he's like, "Well, I'm not sure." And I was like, "Mad Dog, don't worry, you got an open slot. Just let me know if you'll be able to make it or not." So it's a good possibility he'll be down. So, yeah, I think that's about it, except for the one very exciting thing that I wasn't sure if this was going to happen or not, but it's pretty much 99% done.
Steve Chmien is going to do the live entertainment?
He should bring up his iPad. We'll plug him into the PA, and we can do some... house music, baby.
The bonfire / sacrifice will follow.
Bring in Luke Fontaine.
Yeah, he could open for Cherubina.
But no, we will be having a Linux LAN party.
I purposely didn't tell Cody.
Oh my god.
You guys gotta watch the video of Cody's reaction.
No, you guys don't understand. Like, I haven't... Okay, for those... Look, if you're on the show and you don't know what a LAN... if you're listening to this right now, you know what a LAN party is. Hit stop, go outside, stare at a tree for a couple hours. Listen, like, oh my god. Oh, I can't... Like, words can't even formulate how excited I am right now.
Well, but here's the thing. It isn't just a LAN party. This is a Linux LAN party.
Yes.
A GNU Linux LAN party.
Yeah, yeah.
If I may say so.
I said Linux myself.
Holy crap. Yeah. Now I gotta, like, ship a tower to Boston.
Oh, no, that's just
here.
Okay, yeah, the details. Yeah, yeah, okay. Dude, goosebumps, I swear to God, man.
So first of all, these guys from Virginia Tech are coming up. There's, like, six of them coming up. They're gonna set everything up. We're putting them in a classroom that holds up to 75 people. So... they're coming up, they're going to set everything up, they're going to bring a bunch of their own rigs, they got some servers for the games we're going to play, so we're going to be plugging into their servers, and they're going to bring 4 to 5 extra boxes. We're going to round up a few extra boxes to bring, so hopefully we'll have enough for people that just kind of want to hop in and play, but there'll be plenty of network cables open, please bring your own rig. If you want to stay in that room all day, by all means, knock yourself out. So there'll be a GNU Linux LAN party going on the whole, definitely all day Saturday, and hopefully Sunday we'll be able to pull it off too. I'm hoping we'll be able to leave everything just set up so we can just walk in there the next day and continue. There will be prizes. Right now they're looking at some things, but I'm looking at getting maybe a Chromebook or maybe an HP netbook or something for like a prize at the LAN party.
But I can just bring my Chromebook in and plug it in, right? I'll be good to go.
No.
It's not authorized to work.
Dude, I ain't gonna lie. Dude. This is, in my knowledge, first of a kind. One of a kind.
Yeah.
First ever worldwide. A Linux Fest with a Linux LAN party. This is hot. That's all I got. And I don't care if I sound old or whatever. It's hot. No one's done this. This is beyond exciting for me. And I'm not a real gamer.
I'm going to drop the final bomb for Cody.
Okay. I got to stop you if just in case this isn't related to the LAN party, because I have to get this out. I understand, you know, it's still, you know, 8 weeks away. There's things, logistics to figure out. But do you have any way to project an image during the LAN party, like on a screen or something? I've been to gaming events before, standing behind a row of machines, being able to walk around, like, you know, like swap meet style and watch is fun. But if you have, like, for instance, if you're running like a tournament projector. A projector, because I have an HD projector and I can bring it or have it shipped.
We'll check in. I don't think, sure there's plenty of stuff there at the school we can, you know, make use of.
I would suggest, because that's just going to create even more hype. So
okay, yeah.
Think about that.
Okay, I'll look into that. But the last bomb is the GNU Linux LAN party related. And Cody may or may not poke fun at me for this, but this is not my doing. And I'm doing this for the benefit of the gamers. There's a very good possibility Steam is going to sponsor this GNU Linux LAN party.
Nice.
And what that means is every game available on Linux in Steam, everyone will be able to play all weekend long.
Oh, wow. That is so awesome.
And so, I'll say this. That's genius of them. Genius!
It is.
So everyone will be able to play every game available in Linux on Steam for free all weekend long.
That is very cool. Wow. Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you right now, if you've never seen somebody get so excited playing Super Meat Boy, you come to Northeast GNU Linux Fest, you watch me play Super Meat Boy on a projector, and you'll flip your damn mind out. Because, oh, man. Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm just, so many, like, things are running through my head right now. That is awesome news.
Okay, and I have to ask the Mac Geek in the chat, really nice guy, take it easy on his nick there, Jonathan.
Okay.
He asked if I bring a Windows computer to the fest and I connect it to the LAN for the LAN party and I'm running those same Steam games, am I going to get, like, kicked off the network?
No, but you may have to endure some being made fun of by other people in the room.
Right.
I can't control that.
Yeah. What's that Agatha Christie story where, like, the people, like, on the train, they, like, the lights go out and they all stab the dude?
Whoa, you're saying they're going to stab the Mac guy?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying things happen when people have a common goal.
No. I won't. I mean, we prefer you didn't do that, but, you know, like, I
guess. Well, you didn't say no.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that guy, you know, like, I am an advocate of free software, but I'm not going to be like live free or die kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I just kidded around and told him he would be DDoSed off the network.
That's hilarious.
But no.
Which honestly, that could be arranged.
Honestly, the Mac Geek, you will take a heckling. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, the actual guys doing this LAN party, to a degree, don't care. Just come, just have fun.
No, these guys, like, kind of dual boot or whatever, but I told them specifically GNU Linux. Like, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, no problem. Yep. No, you know, we'll make sure there's Linux on all the computers we bring up and everything. So they you know, they know what I'm expecting. So, but I mean, if you go in there using Windows and you're playing, like, Open Arena, pretty much guarantee everyone's coming after you.
So, and The Agatha Christie story is the Orient Express. I knew that. I was just making a joke. But yeah. Oh, man, that's so exciting. Yeah, I mean, to think, dude, at any moment, I'd be like, okay, I'm done with the talk. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to go have a couple beers and sit down and play some game. Dude, just amazing.
Yeah, wait, so like, we'll know where to find Cody when it's time for his talk. And, well, Cody Cooper is supposed to be here. Has anyone seen him? And they'll ask me, like, oh, he's in the LAN party room.
I'll be doing the talk, holding the microphone and the controller in the other hand. It's like, I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to go either way.
They'll be paging. Will somebody please get Cody Cooper out of the LAN party room?
Right. Oh, man.
You're not going to bring, like, diapers awesome or anything, Cody, are you? Like,
No. I'm not that hardcore. I guarantee you I'm not going to die of dehydration at NELF 2013 I was playing too many hours of Serious Sam BFG.
We don't need that.
That's
on
just
our
not
going to
happen.
Yeah, we don't.
No, you don't, because trust. No, not at all. Not at all. And you know what? If I do die there, then it was just meant to be. And I bet that's a
good outlook there.
And if I died during a LAN party, at least I guess say I went in a good way.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dude, this is going to be fun. I'm sorry.
No, man. I love gaming and here's an awesome sort of analogy or gateway, if you were. Think about how awesome the Linux community is. Just based on your online interaction. If none of you have gone to a fest before, okay, definitely come out to NELF if you can, and then others throughout the year. Because it's one thing to be able to research this stuff online, have the experience at home, and then be able to converse with people either your same experience level or above online. But once you meet these people in person, especially at a gathering that's centric to this type of event, I mean, it's just a whole nother level. It really is.
Absolutely.
So if you take that to gaming as well, gaming online with people, gaming at home by yourself is fun. Gaming online with people is fun. But once you get into a live environment with many networked machines together, it takes that to a whole other level too. So, dude, I am just, because I probably haven't been to a LAN party in like over 10 years. Like before my Mac days, back when I was just an exclusive Windows gamer. So this is... Yeah, and it's perfect timing, I mean, from many different angles. So, yeah, I am super jazzed.
Yeah, I really hope the Steam thing comes through. Like, that's not definite, but it's definitely in the realm of possibilities, and it's looking as a good possibility. So,
okay. So, well, drop my name. They all know me there.
Okay,
they
don't, definitely.
But it won't work, but it could.
Well, as long as you're jazzed, Cody, and not jazz hands, I guess we're okay.
No, jazz hand.
There will be no glitter. There won't be any dancing.
Very cool. Okay, if you guys didn't pick up on, everything that we said, here's the gist of it, okay? A whole lot of good people having fun playing games, ribbing each other probably the whole time playing games, having talks held by extremely bona fide people other than myself, giving very insightful talks on very important projects and technologies that we all need to at least care about. And it's going to be at Harvard with a after party. Oh, honestly, yes. Every Linux Fest has a roller coaster of good and bad, I'll say. You know what I mean? Because nothing's perfect. Except for this year's NELF. I cannot see anything. I cannot see anything that is going to bring anyone down this entire time. This is really, dare I say, going to be the highlight of a lot of Linux people's year.
Oh, two more quick things. Not that anything matters after the mention of the LAN party, but
I don't hear anything after that. Whatever. Go ahead.
We have
Doesn't even matter. I'm not reading emails. Nothing for there. Good night.
We have one track dedicated to virtualization, not cloud computing, but virtualization. And we also, I spoke with a Fedora ambassador that lives right pretty close to me. I haven't spoken with them yet to say definitely whether or not, but there's a good chance Fedora is going to have their own entire track also speaking about all things Fedora. And he's possibly going to be giving some talks in a classroom about, like, audio, video stuff within Fedora and, like, why Fedora does or doesn't ship certain codecs, some really interesting stuff. So he's going to be giving some talks on that. And there was one last thing. Fedora, getting the talks. I guess that was it. Maybe there wasn't another thing. Oh, there's going to be someone speaking on OpenShift, which is a pretty cool, like, it's like a platform built for web applications that Red Hat is part of. There's going to be two guys giving talks on OpenShift, like two separate talks on OpenShift. One of the maintainers of KVM is going to be there talking about KVM, and the maintainer of SE Linux will be talking about SE Linux and possibly giving a class on how to configure SE Linux properly. And one last thing, there's also going to be a teacher there giving a class on Android development. So, yeah.
Wow, okay. Very cool. Super quick. I heard about OpenShift, which I have to say very carefully.
Yeah.
I had heard of OpenShift before, and I had to look it up. This is true enterprise-grade cluster dynamic shifting from computer to computer to computer, if I'm not mistaken, where it basically can auto-scale platforms, services, virtualized hardware to really meet the need of what that OS needs right now. This, to me, has such an opportunity to become so, so important in virtualized environments, I'll say, in the next year, year and a half. I can see OpenShift being at the core of many people's solutions.
I can see, like, pretty much all web applications running off this in the very near future. If you're any sort of, like, Linux professional at all, you want to learn about OpenShift, because it's going to make a dent in the virtualized realm. So that's why we have two talks.
It's too bad I'm going to miss that, because I'm going to be stuck in a LAN party.
Well, dude, we're going to be recording all the audio. You'll have plenty of audio to listen to on the plane ride home.
There you go.
That it'll be up that quick, but
if I'm not on Google Plus, just screaming out LAN party over and over again afterward, posting photos of me just giving the thumbs up to my phone. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm here. I was here. Yeah. Door purposely kept that from me. He goes, did Jonathan tell you about the thing earlier? And I was like, no. And he goes, okay, I'm not going to mention anything. So the whole time I was like, what's happening? what's going on? Dude, that was awesome news. Awesome news. Regardless of your opinions of Steam on Linux, I think that's a great way for them to introduce it, because I'm trying to articulate this.
You're still too excited, Cody.
I am. My blood pressure is up.
I'll say this is a great motivator.
Yeah.
It is. And it's a great platform and a great arena for them to demo this, because all you're getting right now from the hardcore Windows users is skepticism.
Right.
And from the industry, really. It's like, well, come on. Is this going to work? And they have faith, and they wouldn't have done it if they knew it wouldn't work. So it's going to hush a lot of the naysayers. And ultimately, I think that if you're thinking about getting into Linux, or if you're in Linux now, it is that one area where for years it's like, well, I can do everything but play high-end games.
Yeah.
Natively in the OS.
Right.
Now it's possible.
Like I said, I'm not doing it for me, that's for sure. I'm doing it because I know, you know, everyone doesn't have my opinions and views, so that's fine.
And, well, Jonathan, did you ever own an NES when you were growing up?
Yeah.
So you played Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Definitely.
So you
can still play
Mac.
I can still play and get up to Super Macho Man.
Oh, that's awesome. So you know, Little Mac and then his trainer, right?
Yep.
Okay, well, if you want, I can be sitting at the LAN party and you could be behind me like Mick for Rocky, and just sitting there like, hey, you gotta get in there, kid, you know, patting my back, getting the towel. If I get a bloody, I mean, if I get a black eye, I'll say, cut me, Jonathan. You can cut me.
Dude, if they had Madden on there, I could totally wipe the floor with anybody in Madden.
Oh, wow.
I've heard many people talk about that in the past.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah, we're going to transition into a story now, because it only makes sense, and that just by me saying that totally broke the transition and fractured it into 100 pieces.
But doesn't matter.
I know. But now, if Windows users go to store.steampower.com, the official Steam web interface for buying games, browsing your games kind of things, right on the main page, they are encouraging everybody to to try Linux, to try Steam on Linux. I'm a firm believer. They believe within a year to a year and a half, every major game is going to be on Linux, and it's going to run better with less hardware. And I know all they care about is people's happiness running the game. So that's why I think they're pushing this even to Windows users. It's one thing for them to support Linux, to put patches back towards the kernel, to help with the video driver, to make a Steam box. It's one thing for them to do all that. It's something else to me entirely for them to actually suggest all their users join the Linux beta.
Yep. It's one thing to just have it available and kind of have it be in a dark corner of their site and be like, oh yeah, we also have this available. But for them to actively promote this and to encourage their existing user base to try a different platform, it's quite revolutionary, and I applaud them for that.
Yeah. I just think that is so, in once again, a motivator. It's all these mm-hmm. little things that are going to at least get people in the zip code of free software. They might not be Definitely. In the actual building yet, but they're mm-hmm. close enough to where they can get to it. And that's the way I think about this kind of thing. I cannot wait for a Windows user to ask me about this. Well, yeah, my kid was, you know, he plays all these games, and he said that Steam said he should try Ubuntu. What's this Ubuntu thing?
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to be so giddy as a little girl. That's all I'm going to say. Good Very stuff. Cool. Something else I felt like I had to bring up because it was very time sensitive. Okay. Everybody might know. I don't know. Anybody might know. I am on Android App Addicts. I am the guy that harassed Steve Cirino for months to do that show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Droid Nation. Me and Jonathan both in combination kind of harassed to get this thing started too. I own five Android devices, right? I've been on Android for over a year and 2 years. Everything I can, I try to use Android with, because it does make so many things very simple to use. What I saw today has me fully prepared to never use Android again. And I say that not like off the cuff, like I don't really mean it. This is real, people. This is true. This is honest opinion. If you go to YouTube and search Mozilla's Firefox OS complete demo at Mobile Web Conference published by Mukkutware, Mukkutware, they show a video of this OS in action on a real device. Everybody kept saying, oh, it's vaporware, it's never going to come real, vaporware. Well, I'm really getting sick and tired of these people claiming facts when they have no idea what they're actually talking about, okay? I can understand skepticism, but you should never totally discount anything, especially when a company like Mozilla is behind it. Mozilla, in my eyes, and you guys correct me if you think I'm wrong, they've overcome some of the biggest hurdles I think a company can overcome. I mean, IE3 and IE4 was the world of internet browsers back then. You know, and they came on and they basically beat them in at least the public's conception of what a safe browser is.
Mm.
And I'll say they're an open company. When I say open company, I mean they basically make freely available everything they do, including how their websites work.
Yeah.
All of the code on their back-end websites and their browser and everything about their browser. They basically open up how everything works. They don't care. Just use it. Abuse it. And, dude, this mobile Firefox OS is running on what is widely considered in the Android world to be old hardware. you know, not really up to par hardware. It's a Samsung Galaxy 2, okay? Samsung Galaxy 3 is out right now, and it's kind of hot right now, which is a quad-core phone, but they're already talking about the Samsung Galaxy 4, which is supposedly 8-core phone, if I'm not mistaken, okay? And this is running on a Samsung Galaxy 2, very soon to be 2-generation-old hardware, which in the phone world is archaic nearly.
It's like obsolete.
And it's beyond snappy on this device. And it's a Galaxy S2. It's not even the Skyrocket revision, which is kind of like the Galaxy S2.5, really. It's the original.
And yeah, the Skyrocket's like 500 megahertz faster or something like that.
Yep. If you haven't checked out this video, I mean, Dor threw me a link to it early in the day, and I saw it all over all the news feeds. I thought, yeah, I'll check it out later, but... Man, including the recent announcement of the Ubuntu the phone version, if you see the right video of how it's presented, you're really kind of in awe. But this, I mean, on this older hardware, it is just super super responsive, super quick. So I can't and I read some articles today. If you're looking at, I think they had a they're looking at releasing some devices through Geek's Phone. And another hardware manufacturer. And if you're looking at the specs for this, I was reading it today. It's like 2010 phone specs. And I was thinking, what's the deal here? How is it going to look? And after seeing this video, just like Dor, I mean, I am a naysayer no longer. It is just amazing. So
yeah, Mozilla, yeah. The girl that's doing the open database thing at the Northeast GNU Linux Fest, she works for Mozilla, and she was telling me about it. 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were giving her a phone to use, and she was saying that Mozilla is probably going to release this like in Brazil first. But the way that it runs on these lower end phones, it's brilliant for these like third world countries or developing countries, because you can get these like Nokia kind of type candy bar style phones with 800 megahertz, 1 gig processors. It'll be blazing fast. They're not going to need these like insane phones running this OS. And she was saying, you know, Mozilla's push for this is to bring back the open web, to make the web what Mozilla wants and believes the web should be, an open standard and everyone utilizing the web. Get away from making applications that run inside your phone and you don't use the web what it was intended for. And that's their whole push with this Firefox OS thing. And the other great thing, which I'm sure Dora's going to get to, is everything is capital F free software within Firefox OS. Just like in a browser, you can click View Source or View HTML. You can do that on every application that's running on the phone, down to the dialer, down to the calculator, down to anything you're running within the phone. You can see the source code for it.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, that's it. Even the dialer. And the web browser controls are in HTML5.
Yeah.
Okay, now real quick, the specs on that Galaxy 2 phone, 1 gigabyte of RAM. That's still, in my eyes, semi-respectable.
Yeah.
But it only had a 400, it's okay, the GPU, yeah. I'm 99% sure, 400 megahertz. It's a MALI 400 MP.
Yeah. That's almost like all the phones have that, even still, kind of. Right.
Gotcha. And it has a dual core 1.2 processor,
yeah.
Which my Droid X2 has a dual core too. And it's horrible with Android. Absolutely horrible with Android. Everything, like he said, is completely in the free, but here's the kicker, okay? The phone literally boots up to a complete usable and functional desktop in 3 seconds. Okay. I've never seen an Android phone boot up that fast, ever, period. It doesn't happen. And this was a functional phone that the guy literally made a call with, okay? This isn't some play test prototype. This was a real phone he made a phone call with.
I heard that was rigged, though. It was completely rigged. Yeah, sure.
And it, like, shut down in literally a blink of an eye, where even my phone sometimes takes a minute to shut down. It's because this Android Davlic Java stack is super unbelievably heavy. Now, I really encourage people to watch this video just for one reason alone, okay? I screamed at the top of my lungs about 2 years ago how Flash can die, and I hope it was going to die because of HTML5. And, you know, a lot of people out there said, ain't gonna happen, it can't happen. If you look at how this phone performs, I want you to realize it is only HTML5. There is no secret sauce. There is no Java-like stack. There is no Flash. This is raw HTML5. HTML5, when done right, is by far the most versatile, functional, elastic, dare I say, coding language on the internet today. A lot of people don't code for it right, or they don't pay a lot of attention to what is available in HTML5. Mozilla does. They've made that very clear. I am so excited for this phone to become real, even if it bombs because, you know, this company didn't support it right and this company didn't advertise it right. As long as it disrupts the market, that's what I really want. I want Mozilla to stick their nose in like hillbillies in a, you know, fancy party. I want them to stick their noses in and just disrupt everything. And I think when real normal, quote unquote, people see how this device performs, that's exactly what it's going to do. It's going to completely disrupt technology.
Yeah, and what they're doing too is the way they're going to get, I guess if you would call them apps or whatever, they're using the plug-in architecture built into Firefox, and they're basically turning that into like the Firefox OS store kind of thing. So you would just add in your, you know, your programs through the plug-in architecture, which is already there, and they're just kind of like rearranging it a little bit in the background, so that way it just turns the plugins into apps. So, so she said the first time you kind of start something, it might take a little longer than normal, but after the first time of starting it, it'll just be like wicked fast after that.
Gotcha, dude.
Very exciting, and just like what Dora is saying, regardless, I mean, you know, you arguably have two major platforms, because I don't consider one of them a contender whatsoever, but regardless of what happens, if you have other big names release these environments, it's just going to make the more competition and make the rest of them stronger, hopefully, or just weed out the weak. So, overall, if you're still an Android user, you should benefit down the line.
I could see it taking over the market in Android, like say in China or like in India, some of the other countries where they don't make the deal with Google to get like the Google apps or whatever. You don't have to worry about that with Firefox OS. You get everything out of the box like anyone else would. So there's no, you know, you would have the same thing that Samsung puts out on a phone that Huawei or whatever would put out on a phone. There'd be no differentiation at all in the OS at that point.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just throw this out there. It's technically feasible, possible to run OpenGL Android APKs on your Linux desktop. BlackBerry Playbook could run Android APKs. There's technically, I'll say, no reason why the Mozilla phone could not run APKs. I'm not going to say it has to do it, but it might have to do it to get over that hump. But I'll say, no matter what, the performance people are going to see out of much less hardware, I think, is going to be enough. And I'll say, Mozilla has available to them the possibility of being displayed in the public conscience as the cool device, as the cool company, something that Microsoft can never get, apparently. They are never hip. They are never cool. iPhone, to be quite honest, is becoming the grandparents' phone. BlackBerry stands no chance to be successful because of history, and I don't give them a chance. And Android, to be honest, they just are what they are. They're going to be what they want to be. There's more than enough room for somebody else to be hip, cool, popular, and successful.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I wanted to talk about this one thing really quick, and then this would be, I think, the last topic. Jonathan, once again, educated me. I had no idea. I knew when I launched up my Chromebook, it booted super insanely quickly fast. And then when I installed Ubuntu on it, I noticed what I saw wasn't what I was expecting. It wasn't like a BIOS in the traditional sense. Well, come to find out, Google on their Chromebooks is using a technology called Core Boot. And when I went and looked at the page for this, I knew it rang a bell. And that's because it used to be called Linux BIOS, I want to say.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called before. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember. Because I do remember seeing it before. Yeah, it was formerly known as Linux BIOS, all one word. Now it's known as Core Boot. And what it is, it's basically a completely GPL'd, royalty-free, license, quote-unquote, license fee-free, quote-unquote, BIOS. And that's the best way I can put it. It is a completely open, configurable, customizable interface for basic computing, basic input and output services. So that made me feel better that I'm supporting a product that is supporting Core Boot.
Yeah, I mean, one of two things that's cool about it running Core Boot. One is either Google got like Asus / Samsung or whatever to turn over the specs of the hardware either to the Core Boot developers, or they turned over the specs to Google, who in turn wrote the code for Core Boot to work in this hardware. So either way it happened, it's pretty cool, because in order for Core Boot to run, you pretty much need to get a lot of nitty-gritty low-level stuff in order for it to work right. And unfortunately, some hardware manufacturers aren't willing to give up the schematics in order for Core Boot to work right. So it's really cool that every Chromebook except the CR58 all have Core Boot.
48.
Yes, sorry.
Sorry, 48.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I just thought that was cool. It's another open technology, quote-unquote,
yeah,
free software,
yep,
that we have the availability to use, and we don't even know we're using it. To be honest, that's how free software wins in my eyes. It's just working, just quote-unquote working with minimal friction.
Yes. That's mm-hmm. usually always the unsung hero.
Yeah, because they don't demand, well, you got to put our logo in the corner.
Right.
You got to put a sticker on the back of your laptop. You
right.
have to advertise for, you know, they don't have to do any of that. So they're not. But the same token, I got a solid device.
Yeah, because I was at the like FSF Christmas party, and one of the main lead maintainers, or one of the main guys on the Core Boot team, we were talking, and just threw it out there. He's like, oh, blah, 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 yeah, the Core Boot on the Chromebook. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. I was like, which Chromebook? He's like, all of them, except the CR48. I was like, dude, that's awesome. I was like, I never even knew that. And so that's how I came up with that tidbit of information.
Very cool.
Very awesome. All right, well, I think that wraps up our topics for the week. I got a couple emails we'll read, and then we'll kick Jonathan off, and we'll have
a lengthy
discussion without him. Without the Okay. So, emails this week. Spork Saber writes in, a good friend Spork from Pod Brewers, of course. Thank you, Spork, for always writing in. He writes in, he wanted to say, hey, everyone, is there an app that will un-DRM audio files? Bill at Going Linux had to do this with an Audible file, Spork Saber. Dor, do you have any specific experience with using this yourself?
I obey the law, Cody. I don't know what you're trying to say. No, of course,
well,
I don't obey
okay,
the law.
Let me pitch that a different way. Do you know anybody, wink, that may have had the same problem, that might not have the moral dedication that you do to certain laws?
Sure. There's a guy I know named
Bob, right?
Stephen McLaughlin.
Yeah, there you
he
go.
He lives down the street from me. Now, okay, here's the thing. Bill on Going Linux, if you listen to that cast, he did not use any software to un-DRM his music. He used the audio loophole, the analog loophole, sorry, where he literally had an iPod with a cable going out into the input of his computer, and he hit play on his iPod and hit record on his computer.
So I have a solution also. Hmm. Don't buy DRM music.
Well, I know.
Oh, come on, Jonathan.
Chibas. Okay.
What if you're already in that grave, man? You
what
can't dig yourself out.
What if you met this girl? She's beautiful. Girl of your dreams. After you get married, come to find out she purchased DRM music. You can't just divorce her over that.
How soon after you got married? Because you have an annulment.
Yeah, annulment.
Okay. Well, okay. Here's the thing. That will always work.
You will deals always, off, baby.
You will always have the analog loophole, period. And it's impossible for them to stop. And it's the one way I can tell you will always work. Period. Done. Okay? That's the end of that part of the conversation. There's a million ways to DRM stuff. Here's the thing I'll say. iTunes, every release, every version release, will tweak their DRM. And it's not because they're fancy. It's not because they're smart. It's because it doesn't work. So with every revision, they have to change it again and again and again. So if it is iTunes DRM, he has to know what version of iTunes encryption it's using. And then there's all kinds of free software out there for that. If it's anything else, there's always something out there that can do it. But the easiest answer for me to say is analog loophole, which I will say is to him is time consuming. If he has 18 days worth of audio, he has to leave that device plugged up to something for 18 days and manage the start and stop time of the recording on the computer.
What if you upload your stuff to like the Google Music or like the Amazon Cloud thing? Does that get around that?
I honestly do not know if they will accept DRM Music. Now that you say that, I will say Amazon did offer at one point in time, you give them any DRM music and they would match it on their end for free.
Okay.
Basically trying to encourage you to get stuff over. And I will say if it will take in any of those systems, there are always ways for you to download that content, whether it's supported or unsupported.
And I would hearken back to the one of the most recent HPR episodes where Hookah did that episode on like non-DRM like ebooks and music. That was an awesome episode. I highly recommend listening to it. I have no idea what the episode number was, but definitely listen to that episode and be enlightened.
Yeah, we just had him on the last episode, and that was definitely one of the focus points. Because I agree with Kevin, and that is, hypothetically, I know how to crack iTunes DRM. It's still not okay for me to buy iTunes DRM stuff, because I'm still sending a signal to them saying it's okay to DRM stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you need to know about it first off, and then you need to do what you have to do to not support it. And that was episode 1144 on hackerpublicradio.org.
There you go.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, thank you, SporkSaber, for writing in on that, and good luck. I will say I did a little bit of research on that today, and it ultimately depends, or I should say a friend of mine did some research on that, this guy I know who got back to me today. Oh, if you want to remove DRM from whatever file you want, it ultimately depends. The avenue to go about it depends on the file format. So do or tell your friend to do their research, and they should be okay. And then you in turn. And our last email for the week comes from, coincidentally, Father of the Year 2012 winner, Ashley Anderson, writes in, hey guys, I just listened to the first part of Links to the Rest of Us, episode 119. Thanks for the mention. You guys are great. Keep up the great work. FYI, my newest project is running Puppy Linux on an old Dell P4 desktop that is hooked up to a 60-inch HDTV via DVI. The Puppy will be running some sort of Super Nintendo emulator so I can get my kids to play all the games that I used to. My research shows that I should be able to use a PlayStation 2 controller with a USB adapter and have it work in the Linux OS. I'll post back if I can get it working and my experience. Side note, I got remote desktop set up so I can RDP from Puppy Linux into an XP session and surf the internet in front of the big screen. Sadly enough, I found out that you are not able to play Netflix if you're RDP'd into the XP OS from another PC. Anyways, have a great week, guys. Ash. And see, Ashley, you should have just, to avoid the whole debacle, and if you guys aren't familiar, listen to episode 119 and then subsequently 18 to really understand how important Ashley Anderson and why he won Father of the Year. But if you just, see, when you address yourself as Ash, I'm thinking, you know, Army of Darkness, I'm thinking Evil Dead.
Mm.
And now I'm thinking of you walking around with a chainsaw attached to your nub of where a hand used to be. Being, you know, a total BA. So good for you, first of all. Secondly, in my experience, when you want to get a physical gaming controller working in any sort of PC environment, you almost need to dance with the devil in the pale of the moonlight, is the way of me putting it, and get an actual Microsoft Xbox 360 wired controller. Not a third-party brand, an actual Microsoft one. You can go to podness.com/Amazon and order them. I think they're less than 35 or 30 bucks, because they actually have the security chip inside that will automatically have it detected by Windows automatically. But I've used it for many of the games I've downloaded through Humble Bundles on through many different Linux distros, and it's just worked automatically. Whereas I have a PlayStation 2 controller through an adapter, and I've gotten mixed results. Some of the buttons don't work, some of the analog sticks don't work, some of the D-pads don't work, and it varies from game to game to game to game to game. So if you want something reliable, get that product. And it's worked for me 100% of the time. I haven't had any issues whatsoever. But man, SNES games on a 60-inch screen, that just makes me want to play some Super Punch-Out.
Yeah. Well, the two things I'll add is Netflix is possible to be played through Linux. I think it is beholden. It has to be ran on Ubuntu via Wine, but I'm not positive on that. So he might not need Windows, but he could also try Splashtop. Splashtop is like a remote desktop client, but its purpose in life is to stream media over the network. So that might work as well. And that you can install on Linux. I'm not sure what devices you can connect to it with, but I know it can be ran as a host on Linux.
He can also check out, like, if he's using Puppy, they also make a version of Puppy called Puppy Arcade. So you can check that out, too.
Oh, very cool.
Very true. Honestly, I totally forgot about that. That's a good idea. And the other thing I'll throw out there is, if you have a Nintendo Wii sitting around, Sean Johnson, SJ Geek from Android App Addicts, was very successful with hacking his Wii. He said very easily putting on what's called the Homebrew channel using the Wiimote and the Nintendo Classic controller to get his retro gaming on. And he said a pristine environment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It depends on which Wii you have. If you have one of the newer ones, good luck. But if you have the older ones, it's a lot easier, because Nintendo has been cracking down on that. So your mileage mm-hmm. may vary depending on which Wii you own and if you've done any firmware updates to it.
Yep, do your research.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Ashley. And yes, please keep us in the loop on that, because I... As much as I love using Linux or GNU Linux day to day, I love seeing the different implementations of displaying media, whether it's audio, video, or gaming, and using it on lower powered or modern day devices in order to make that happen. So if you guys have any sort of really cool media products that you've used Linux for, definitely send an email in to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com, and we will talk about it on the show. Okay, wrapping up, Jonathan, I just want to thank you very much for coming on the show. We hopefully covered everything that you're currently involved with.
Yes,
thoroughly. To a certain degree, yes. And thank you, because, dude, I don't even know what I'm saying right now. Just the words LAN party are flashing in my eyes, behind my eyes, in big like, show letters. Yeah, so that's all I'm seeing right
big
now.
Neon
I don't even
sign.
Know if you're still on the air. Exactly. Yeah. Land party. But no, now it's March 16th and 17th.
Yes.
In Boston, Massachusetts.
Technically, it's Cambridge.
Cambridge, Massachusetts, for the Northeast GNU Linux Fest, or as I affectionately refer to it as NEGLF. And if you want to understand the story behind that and my potential diva-like behavior,
we'll have to forward you the emails.
Yeah, negotiating me coming to the fest, like agreeing to it. I'll tell the story somehow during the fest. So come check that out, and then we'll somehow have it available for everyone after the fact. It was quite the debacle, I'll say. But he caved, and I'm getting my 5-gallon jug of brown M&Ms.
Exactly,
which is good. So, Jonathan, is there anything you'd like to say wrapping up?
No, just check out indiegogo.com/sonar. You can check out the acf.co. Please, again, if you can't pledge, I totally understand. And using those social network buttons, it would almost be just as valuable, if not more valuable, than if you pledge. So please do either of the two or both if you can.
And please do it sooner rather than later, because by the time this is actually aired, it's going to be that much further into the campaign.
Yeah, it'll probably have 2 weeks left or something like that once this comes out.
Right.
Dang, don't being hard on a brother.
No pressure.
No. I'm giving a lot of pressure here. Jonathan, I'll take the wheel on this. Don't wait until the last minute. Assess what you can do, monetary or otherwise, and do it immediately, because it's going to help.
Yeah, definitely. Okay? Yeah.
If you find you can help more later on, worst case scenario, you're just helping more.
Yeah, I mean, but even if later on down the road, you can just go to the acf.co and make a one-time donation there, too.
Yep.
So it's all going to the same place.
Lots of ways to support the great work that he's doing, and I commend him for it.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm happy to call you my admiral. So thank you very much. I'm looking forward to shaking your hand once again come March.
Definitely.
And then having you put a beer in mine.
Absolutely.
All right.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
No, not at all. Dor, any parting words for this week?
Honestly, I just can't wait to honestly sit down and BS with Jonathan again, some of the best of times period, and some of the other people that are going to this fest are going to make it even that much better.
Russ Winner?
Slow down a second.
Okay, all right.
First off, I'm going to have the ability to shake Bruce Patterson's hand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I am really? Not Bruce going to lie to anyone. Bruce is one of the nicest, smartest guys I think I've met on Linux. And it's very hard to tell how proficient he is on Linux, because he's so, he like never tries to insult anyone else's in intelligence. He's one of the biggest gentlemen I think I've met in this internet world. I cannot wait to buy him a beer and smack him on his back and just BS with him. Because I have little doubt in my mind that has a very high probability of being the best high point of that fest. Okay? Because I've never met Bruce. Period. It's going to be great. And then we have guys like Russ Winner. The Techie Geek is coming up to NELF. And just between us, I think he might have some homebrew.
Oh, yeah. He already has that ready to go.
Oh, yep. Yeah. And then
that's the only reason I'm going. Well, that's the second reason I'm going.
Land party.
Yeah, right. Yeah, land party one. Right. Russ's homebrew number two.
Right. And then if you listen to the HPR episode with the interview with Richard Stallman, Pokey. The guy who did that interview, who I can safely say, I don't care if he credits it being good because Mumble wouldn't let him and Stallman talk at the same time. Okay, first, he's full of crap. Pokey had so much class and respect and good questions. I cannot wait to meet him as well. That's going to be a joy as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going to be there. That's fantastic.
He's been in all three of them.
Right.
See, and I got to say, for those of you who haven't heard that interview yet, I got to say it was fantastic. If you think about other interviews of RMS in the past that may have not gone so well, or not shed him in such a good light. This one was handled in such a way where a lot of his views were presented in such a way that I had never heard it before. Yeah. And it was handled very, very professionally by Pokey in his interview style. So I commend him for that, and I urge you to listen to it if you haven't already.
To date, by far, best interview with RMS ever.
Yeah.
Yep.
I concur, sir. And we're not done. We have Gadget Wisdom from the Wenica Media Group from Android Buffet. He's going to be there. I'm going to try to slip him a drink because I think he needs to drink some.
Oh, man. Gadget Wisdom is wicked funny in person.
Yeah. And we also have Dan Fry from Tilts coming up, and from Myth TV Cast. He just seems like one of those just flat-out genuine nice guys. Everybody I hear coming to this fest are just nice people. So I am really wicked excited, and I'm prepping for that Boston area slang. I'm wicked excited.
Wicked excited.
I'm wicked excited for the land party.
Right. I'm really excited for the fest and to meet people. And I'm sure there's going to be people there like Murph.
Oh, yeah. Murph's definitely going to be there.
Right. Who I didn't expect on being there, but he's going to be there anyway. And just shaking all those guys' hands. I know it's going to be very, very good times indeed. Irregardless whether it was an 8-hour bus trip or a 20-hour bus trip, it's going to go by like a blur. Now on the way back, it's going to take forever.
I could arrange the 20-hour bus trip.
No. Okay.
You could ride out with me and then take a bus home.
Yeah. DoorDoorGeek.com. More shows have been published on PodNuts. More PodNuts dailies. More PodNuts. My Hard Drive Died did get published. I want to do a great tech debate here in the next week or two. And I think we're going to be adding shows to the network here in less than a month. Stay tuned for who that will be.
Ooh, spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Teaser. Yeah, a lot of good content coming. And I got to say, and Dor, I know I've spoken this to you in private, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners think just the same, but you have done a phenomenal job of resurrecting and getting a lot of the shows that were in full swing back on track.
Here, here.
Giving it a fresh perspective and really resurrecting them to where they were, and I'm sure that you're going to take them to beyond where they were before. So to just have those shows on a more regular basis back in the mix is awesome, but I got to tell you, I know, because I've peeked behind the curtain and then had my hand slapped, I know some of the stuff that's coming, and if you guys love PodNuts as it is right now, it's just going to get better in the coming future. So stay tuned.
Cool, man. I'm just having fun.
We're all having fun, and if we weren't having fun, I forgot what I was going to say. It's just LAN party in my head. No, I'm just kidding. No. So thank you very much, Dor. As always, I'm Cody Cooper. You can hit me up on Google Plus, just CodyCooper. Have some other web stuff in the development, and I might also be announcing some other audio projects in the near future. Something that I spoke with Jonathan about at OLF.
Oh, man.
That I have more things. I'll talk to you about it after we get off air. Thank you very much for everyone listening. Please be sure to check out, if you have any Amazon shopping to do, check out podnuts.com/Amazon. It's an easy link to help support the network with purchases that you're going to make anyway. So please do that. There's also podnuts.com/Newegg and podnuts.com/eBay. Check out D7, of course, the product we mentioned earlier in the show. If you're a PC tech, the ultimate PC technician's multi-tool. You get a 20% discount by using the code PODNUTS20. That's PODNUTZ20 for that wonderful product. I'm Cody Cooper, signing off. And remember, Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.